Chapter number 11, Collar Deep. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Sri Advaita Acharya and Shivas Thakur. All glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya. All glories to the land of Sri Chaitanya, the topmost holy place where he descended with the holy name. Nityananda said, "Listen, everyone. The five streams of the Ganges join together at this place. The Ganges mixes with the Mandakini and Alakananda rivers, while the Saraswati seems to be hidden. From the west, along with the Jamuna, comes the Bhagavati. There also the Manasaganga flows quickly. This place is non-different from the holy place known as Mahaprayag, where Brahma and the Rishis performed millions upon millions of sacrifices. The glory of this place is incomparable. If one simply lives here for a short time, he will never take another birth in the material world. How can anyone describe the glories of this place? All other holy places are like dried-up rivers in comparison. From here, perfected souls give up earth, air, and water and attain Goloka Vrindavan. This place, known as Kuliyappahada, is situated on the banks of the Ganges and is raised up like a mountain. In the scriptures, it is called Kolladeep. Now listen as I explain the history of this place. Millions of years ago, in the age known as Satya Yuga, or the Golden Age of Enlightenment, there lived a young Brahmana named Vasudev. He used to regularly worship the Varaha avatar, the boar incarnation of Vishnu. One day, as he worshipped the deity of Varaha, he prayed, "O Lord, please bestow your mercy upon me and reveal yourself. That would be the success of my eyes and life." With his voice wavering, the Brahmana, in great humility, began weeping, saying, "If my Lord does not reveal himself to me, my life is worthless." Nityananda said, "Shortly thereafter, the Lord, being most merciful, revealed himself to Vasudev in the form of a boar. His body was decorated with ornaments and jewels, and his beautiful feet, neck, face, nose, and eyes were enchanting to behold. He towered over the earth like a great mountain. Upon seeing the Lord appearing before him as a giant boar, Vasudev, amazed at his own great fortune, fell on the ground to offer his respects. Weeping and bewildered with divine sentiments of joy, he could not utter a word. Seeing the devotion of the young Brahmana, Lord Varaha spoke the following sweet words, 'O Vasudev, because you are so devoted to me, I am extremely satisfied with your worship. Listen carefully to my words. When the age of Kali arrives, I will display my pastimes here in Navadip Dham. There is no other place in the three worlds that can be compared with Navadip. Although its glories are hidden now, it is my favorite transcendental abode. All important holy places like Brahmavata can be found here in Navadip Dham. This is the verdict of scripture. When Brahma performed a sacrifice, I appeared and killed Hiranyaksha with my tusks. The powerful effect of the holy place in which I appeared is present right here. By serving Navadip, all holy places are served. By living in Navadip, all the benefits of living in other holy places are automatically attained. You are fortunate to have served me in Navadip, for at the time of Sri Chaitanya's appearance, you will again take birth here. You will see the great Sankirtan pastimes and the wonderful divine form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Nityananda continued, "At that time Lord Varaha vanished, and the Brahmana searched out the meaning of the Lord's divine words. He was a great scholar of the scriptures, and by carefully considering their message, he could understand that during the reign of Vaivashvata Manu, at the beginning of the age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya's pastimes would be revealed at Nadia. The sages had kept all this a secret. Vasudev could understand that this had only been hinted at in the scriptures, but it was clear to the wise. When the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya became manifest on earth, the scriptural evidence describing his advent would become clear. In this way, the Brahmana received confidential knowledge of the secret truths of Sri Chaitanya. Nityananda concluded, "In great ecstasy, Vasudev performed Sankirtan, singing the name of Sri Chaitanya again and again. Having seen the mountainous form of Varaha, and after careful consideration, he named this place Kola Parvat, Boar Mountain, but it is now known as Parvat. The pure devotees know that this place is non different from Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan, where Lord Sri Krishna performs his eternal pastimes." As they walked on, Nityananda said, "To the north is Bahulavan, whose wonderful radiance spreads out in all directions. In Vrindavan there are 12 forests, one after another in sequence, but by the Lord's sweet will that does not occur here. The unusual form of the forest increases the ecstasy of the devotees." As they continued a little further, they reached Samudraga. Having arrived, Nityananda spoke again as follows, "You see this place here? This is Samudragar. This holy place is non-different from Dwarkapuri and Ganga Sagar. Both of these holy places are present here. Listen now, and I will tell the story of Samudra Sen, for whom this place was named. Samudra Sen was a great devotee king. Krishna was his life and soul. When Bhima came here with his soldiers to conquer all who opposed him, he surrounded Samudragar. The king knew that Krishna was the only shelter of the Pandavas, and that if Bhima were in danger, Krishna would immediately come to his rescue. Samudra Sen began thinking that if he could make Bhima fearful and cause him to cry out for help, then Krishna would appear out of love for his devotee. If Bhima is in trouble, Krishna himself will descend upon this land, and I will be able to see the dark and beautiful figure of the Lord with my own eyes," he thought. With this plan in mind, Samudra Sen gathered his generals, elephants, horses, and infantry soldiers, and rode into battle. He began shooting his arrows while constantly remembering Krishna. Beholding that deadly shower of arrows, Bhima called out to Krishna, "O my lord, since you are merciful, please protect your Bhima. I cannot fight Samudra Sen. If I were to conquer him, he would be humiliated. It is very shameful, but I must now admit defeat." Hearing the plaintive cry of Bhima, Krishna appeared on the battlefield. No one could see his form except the king. His youthful body was the color of a fresh rain cloud. Shining ornaments decorated his graceful limbs, and yellow garments clothed his wonderful figure. Seeing that form, the king fainted in ecstasy. Finally, regaining his consciousness and controlling himself, he submitted the following request to the Supreme Lord. "O Krishna, you are the master of the universe and the savior of the fallen. Seeing my despicable condition, you have come here just to deliver me. The whole world constantly sings your glories. After hearing your praises sung so widely, I had hoped to see your divine pastimes. I vowed that you would appear in Nabadeep, and you have now fulfilled that vow. O most merciful Lord, you have descended here in Nabadeep as Krishna. Now that I have seen your enchanting form here, I will never leave Nabadeep. But now my desire is to see something even more confidential. Please appear before me in your feature as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." By the mercy of the Lord, the king was allowed to witness the sweet and charming pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He saw how Krishna and his friends performed their afternoon duties of herding the cows in the forest of Kumuda. Then, suddenly, the pastimes of Vrindavan disappeared, and the king saw the form of Sri Chaitanya dancing and singing with his devotees in a huge kirtan. His beautiful complexion was brilliant gold, his eyes appeared intoxicated with divine love, and his body shook with ecstasy. In this way, King Samudrasen experienced the perfection of seeing by viewing the transcendental form of Sri Chaitanya. The desire of his heart and eyes was thus completely satisfied. Beholding the wonderful form of Sri Chaitanya, the king considered himself greatly fortunate and offered many prayers to the lotus feet of the Lord. Soon, however, his vision of Sri Chaitanya disappeared, and the king, feeling great separation, began to weep. Bhima was unable to see all this and thought only that the king had become paralyzed with fear. Bhima was surprised when King Samudrasen suddenly stopped fighting, and even more surprised when the king begged to be allowed to pay him tribute. Accepting his offerings, Bhima moved on to other lands to continue collecting tribute from all the kings of the world. The world still sings the praises of Bhima for conquering all directions. This incident took place here at Samudragar, on the edge of Nabadeep Dhamma. Even Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, cannot know the glory of this holy place. Once the ocean's current took shelter of the Ganges and rose up this far to serve the Lord's lotus feet in devotion. Ganga Devi said, "My dear ocean, don't be so excited. Some day soon my Lord will certainly stay in a forest on your shores." The ocean answered, "Listen, O goddess. The son of Sachi, Sri Chaitanya, will never leave Nabadeep. Although material vision cannot detect this, Nabadeep is the eternal home of the Lord. All the Vedas sing of his visible and invisible pastimes here. O Ganga Devi, in your shelter I will stay here and serve Sri Chaitanya in Nabadeep." And so the ocean stayed at Nabadeep, always contemplating the eternal pastimes of Sri Gauranga. After taking rest at Vaninath's house, the party toured Champahati in the afternoon. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu explained to Jiva, "Listen, son of Vallabha, at this place there was once a Champaka forest. It was part of the Kadira forest of Vrindavan. At this very spot, the gopi known as Champakalata Sakhi picks Champaka flowers, strings them into garlands, and offers them to Radha and Krishna. This is her eternal pastime. When the present age of quarrel, Kali Yuga, grew in influence, merchants moved in and began harvesting the flowers. They set up a hatta, or market, here, and sold the Champaka flowers to the villagers and townsfolk. Since then, this place has been known as Champakahatta, or, more commonly, Champahati, the market of flowers. When Lakshman Sen was the king of Bengal, Jayadev Goswami was one of his subjects in Nabadeep. Jayadev built a hut on the banks of Balal Dirigika and lived there peacefully with his wife, Padmavati. There he wrote the poem Dasa Avatar Stotram, which came into the king's hands. The king read the poem with great pleasure and asked who had written it. The king's teacher, Govardhan Acharya, answered that Jayadev Goswami had written the poem. The king asked where Jayadev lived, and the Acharya said that he lived somewhere in Nabadeep Dhamma. Hearing this, King Lakshman Sen decided to secretly search him out. At night, wearing the dress of a Vaishnava mendicant, he went to the house of the poet Jayadev. The king entered the cottage, paid respects to the poet, and seated himself. Jayadev knew him to be the king of Bengal, dressed as a penniless Vaishnava. After a short time, the king revealed his true identity. He begged the poet to come to his palace. Jayadev, being very renounced, would never agree to live in the house of a materialist, to say nothing of the palace of a king. He said, "Association with materialists never yields any beneficial result. Rather than live in your palace, I will give up your kingdom and go elsewhere. I will immediately cross the Ganges and head towards Puri." The king replied, "No, never give up Nabadeep. Please listen, O my master. Your words and my wish can both come true. Whatever you like you may do, of course, but please have mercy upon me. Across the Ganges is an enchanting forest of champaka flowers known as Champahati. Please stay there for some time. I will not go there as I like, but shall visit you only upon your request. Hearing the humble words of the king, the great poet Jayadeva agreed and said, Although you are endowed with such great wealth and empire, you are a devotee of Krishna and are not bound to the material world. I called you a materialist only to test you, but you have tolerated my harsh words, and so I know that you are a real devotee of Krishna. Although accepting material things, you remain unattached to them. I will stay for a few days in Champahati, and you can secretly come to see me, leaving aside your royal opulence. The king was very happy with this, and soon arranged for his men to build Jayadeva cottage in Champahati. There Jayadeva Goswami lived for some time, worshipping Krishna according to the process of Raga Marga, or spontaneous love. His wife Padmavati would bring heaps of champaka flowers, which Jayadeva would offer to Krishna in the ecstasy of divine love. And seeing this, Krishna would accept his offering of flowers. Nityananda continued, One day the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna revealed himself to Jayadeva Goswami in a beautiful form, as golden in colour as the champaka flower. He was all attractive, and his beautiful face shined so brightly that it put to shame the brilliance of millions of moons. His curling hair was beautiful and long, and garlands of flowers decorated his neck. His arms were long, and his effulgence illuminated the room. Seeing the divine form of Sri Chaitanya, Jayadeva fainted, overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, and tears streamed from his eyes. Padmavati also fell to the ground, unconscious. The Lord lifted the couple up with his two lotus hands and spoke these nectarian words. Because you are my devotees, I am revealing myself to you. Very soon I will take birth in Nadia, in the womb of Sachi. With all my avatars and devotees, I will distribute the gift of divine love and the holy name of Krishna. After 24 years I will take sannyas and live in Puri. Thereafter, in the association of devotees, overcome by divine love, I will continuously taste the nectar of your Gita Govinda, because the subject of your poetry is very dear to me. At the end of this life, you will return to the holy land of Navadvip Dham. This is certain. For now, both of you must go to Jagannath Puri, serve Lord Jagannath there, and you will attain love of Godhead. Saying this, the Lord disappeared. Jayadeva and his wife fainted. When they awoke, they were overwhelmed by grief and began to cry. With tears in their eyes, they said, Having seen such a beautiful form, O Lord, how can we live in your absence? Why have you ordered us to leave Nadia? We must have committed some great offence here in Navadvip. We are becoming disturbed just to think that now we must leave the holy land of Nadia. It would have been better for us to have taken birth as a bird or beast in Nadia, for then we could stay here for a long time, always thinking of this holy land. We can give up our lives, but we cannot give up Navadvip. Our attachment for Navadvip is too strong. O Lord, save us. Give us the mercy of your lotus feet, and let us stay here. As they were crying and praying, they heard a voice from the sky say, Do not be unhappy. Go to Jagannath Puri. There are two things you should know that will give you solace. Some time ago you were both thinking of going to Puri for a visit. Lord Jagannath wanted to fulfill that wish, and he is eager to see you. By pleasing him, you will return to Navadvip at the end of this life and remain here eternally. Hearing this, Jayadeva and Padmavati immediately left for Jagannath Puri. Turning back, they glanced once more at Navadvip, and with tears flowing from their eyes and their hearts throbbing, they spoke in sorrow to the residents of Navadvip, saying, We have offended you. Please give us your mercy. Please purify us. As they continued down the road, they kept looking back now and then to see the holy land of Navadvip. Finally, with Navadvip out of sight, they left the land of Sri Chaitanya, weeping as they walked. Nityananda concluded, a few days later they arrived in Jagannath Puri. There they went to see Lord Jagannath, who was pleased with them. Look, Jiva, this was the place of Jayadev Goswami. Only a raised portion of earth remains. This is the story left by the elders. Upon seeing this place, Jiva became speechless and began weeping. O Jayadev and Padmavati, he said, you are most fortunate. O Gita Govinda and Krishna Rati, be merciful to me and give me just one drop of the ocean of divine love that was tasted by Jayadev Goswami. Saying this, Jiva fell to the ground at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu. This poor and humble soul, whose only hope is the shade of the lotus feet of Janava Devi and Nityananda Prabhu, thus sings the glories of Nadia.